Well, you pet stylist, you found the Broom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Oh, groomers. Hey, Susie. How you doing?
I am doing really well because my favorite person is turning 80 today. Happy birthday, Barbara.
Oh, my God. I don't even believe this number. I am in total weirdness with it. One hand, I'm celebrating the 80, and on the other hand, I'm freaking out. So, you know, it's just like just don't count on me to be too, I'm not grounded. Let's just say I'm not grounded today. I'm just like wandering around this business about being 80 fucking years old.
Not to worry. I will drive the ship and keep you on track so that we don't completely lose our direction. So this is episode 239 of the Groom Pod, recorded on January 19th, 2020. Yes, Barbara's birthday, January 19th, just 4 days after mine on January 15th, these Capricorn people. Anyway, this podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and the Absorber Towel. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk special requests, vinegar, and using Facebook to answer your questions. You can join us on Facebook, that dreaded Facebook that I was just mentioning, by finding us at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Patreon button and the donation button at www.thegroompod.com. And this week's show is brought to you by the Absorber Towel. Barbara, the Absorber Towel is changing my world. It is revolutionary. It is helping me cut drying time so much. I'm removing so much more water off the dog beforehand. I'm taking more time to do it and thoughtfully remove the water. And that is way smarter way for me to get the water off the dog than blowing it around the inside of the trailer. It saves laundry. It's saving space in my mobile. It is really easy to rinse off, and I get it warmed up with the water before every dog. So it's a nice, warm, wet towel. And then I start the process, and oh my gosh, I just cannot tell you how much this is helping me out with my oversaturated environment. So if you guys are interested in finding out about this wonderful absorber towel, you guys can go to dogloverstowel.com, and that again is dogloverstowel.com. Barbara, how was your week?
So listen, I've been trying my absorbers that you sent me.
Oh, nifty.
I think that your suggestion to cut the thing in half in order to be able to wring it with less pain to your wrist, I think it's brill. As they would say in Old England, very brill, darling.
I've never heard of that, brill.
Brill, yeah, that's short for brilliant.
I got it.
Very brill. So I did that and answered one of my questions or one of my little problems, which is that the towel can be very cold.
Oh, it's so easy to fix.
So what I did, I used the side of the tub and roll them up and then squeeze them. And then I put it right on the edge of the tub, and I got two of them right there. The thing you have to remember is that you need to wring out the towel and then keep on using it, and not just fill the towel up and toss it to the side and grab another towel like you would with your regular towels. You want to just wring it out and use it again and wring it and use it. And they're light enough weight, cut in half. You know, I felt it on my wrist, but it wasn't a deal breaker. I'm on board with the absorbers, and my reason is a little bit different than yours, and it's because my old washing machine is starting to groan under the stress of the towels. I mean, it's not making it through the spin cycles, and I'm having to go out there, lean on it, redistribute the load maybe 5 or 6 times to get the damn washing machine through the last cycle. And that's just like so labor intensive, such a waste of my time. I can't do anything else, and I'm leaning against the washing machine trying to get a load of towels through to the end. I'm really committed. In fact, I looked around the shop and found my last absorber that I got from the store, and it's not a doggy absorber, but I said, well, I'm going to compare with this. And so first of all, I realized it was this extra large size, which I didn't really want to deal with. So I'm going to cut that one in half too.
Yeah.
But you could, theoretically, you could get through your day with one absorber cut in half, two little absorber towels rolled up at the edge of your tub, and you just use them over and over again. And at the end of the day, you slip them in the vinegar rinse that you're running through the Bathing Beauty, and voila. And as soon as they look soiled, you can bring them home and wash them in the machine. I'm pretty excited about it as a way of saving me labor, personal labor, and time. And so even though I've tried this technology before and dismissed it, I'm now really wanting to make it work.
I agree. I think it's really great. I never have tried it except for on my cars. We have chamois for the cars, so it's similar, but this is even easier to wring out than the chamois. It's super lightweight, and I love it. I have ordered two Tupperware, because I'm a sucker, two Tupperware spaghetti holders, and I'm going to roll them up and stick them in the spaghetti holder with some liquid in there, some vinegar liquid or whatever, so that it smells fresh, because it didn't really smell fresh right away, and then I washed it, and it smelled just fine after I rinsed it off. But I'm keeping it in a baggie, which is not the ideal situation anyway. And I'm not so sure that baggie didn't have candy in it at some time, which would put a biological in there that wouldn't normally be in there. So anyway, so I've ordered these two cylindrical Tupperware containers that I'm going to use for my storage of these. And then they won't leak everywhere when I'm driving around and stuff like that.
I've got a couple of canister things that came with my cooling towels that I bought for the summer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I can commandeer a couple of those because the cooling towels never seem to go back to their container.
Right.
And, you know, like, but now my challenge is how to properly introduce the new technology to the old bather.
Oh, that is a challenge.
I'm sure that other shop owners have experienced this, but sometimes when you delegate tasks such as the bathing and brush out, the person who so here's what happens. The bather starts to own the bathing. The bather starts to own the bathing. They start to be the expert on the bathing. It becomes their thing, their tub, their table, their towel, their whatever, their method, their success. They own it. Well, that's a good thing in terms of an employee's contributing to the whole, but it's a bad thing when you want to introduce something new that they might have to, oh my God, change. So I already made a bad mistake, because I did cut the towel in two, but I just kind of dumped the absorbers onto Yvonne, the bathing staff, and told her, the truth is, those absorbers came on a day where I forgot to bring in the towels. So
oh,
we were out
lucky.
Of towels, and there was the package of the absorbers right there.
I like it.
I have a hard time remembering everything. This is a part of being 80. I get to work and I've almost always forgotten one thing. The appointment book, the towels, my cell phone, my purse.
Yeah.
You know, I can pretty much get 3 out of 5.
Right. That's pretty good.
So anyway, I dumped the absorbers on Yvonne. And I didn't go back and I didn't see how she was doing with them. I didn't see what she was doing with them. I didn't carry the project. I really screwed up. And that's not the way to introduce something new to your staff.
So I have an idea.
What? What's your idea?
It's a thought. Now, hear me out. If you tell her that we got these absorber towels to review on the podcast, and we really need her to use them and get into using them and use them the right way so that we can use her information on the podcast. Would she go for that? She listened. She thought we were pretty cool when she listened.
She's already tried them, and she's already declared that she doesn't like them. She's given them a huge thumbs down as she walked out the door. I don't like them.
Maybe. Okay, I got another idea.
So you see, it's my fault. I didn't help her like them more. You know,
I got an idea.
I didn't. What?
Because I'm full of ideas today. I was stuck at home for 6 days. I have done nothing but think. So if you could do the rinse it out and put it into a bucket and then show the difference on video, and she could videotape it, maybe you could prove it to her by that way. Get her to hold the camera while you do it the right way and save all the juice, because when I squeezed out the water into a container and I saw how much more water came out, that was really mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. The way that I found out, but to tell the truth, I dumped the absorbers on her. I said, it's a good thing these came in the mail because I didn't bring the towels. I need you to use them. Then at the end of the day, I saw one of them hanging on the towel rack with the other towels. And, of course, that's not what we do with those towels.
Right.
And I had to say, oh, we don't hang these. We just fold them up and use them again tomorrow. She said, I don't like them. That was it, you know. So you know what she had done? So she had used the absorber like a regular towel. She had, like, toweled off with it and then tossed it to the side, and she didn't wring them out and use them again. She just resisted the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got to excite her about this.
The possibility that
we don't have to drag towels back and forth from my house, and I don't have to get a new washing machine right away, you know?
Maybe we can mobilize the massive Groom Pod army out there and come up with a donation to get you at least a used washer that's in better shape, something like that.
Yeah.
If we could find somebody to get it, to go buy it and then put it in for you and get rid of the old one. That's kind of what...
Well, that's really simple.
Okay.
In between where I live and my work, there is a nice little Romano's appliance, and that's what they do. They have cheap, recycled washer, dryers, stoves, refrigerators. And I think that's where I got this one. I've used them before, and they're only like 4 blocks away. So they just come and take the old one and hook up the new one, and it's all a part of the. And I think it's, you know, you want me to go in there and see how much they're
running?
Please
do, because I will definitely see what we can do here as a group to come up with the money to get you a used washer, because that is. It's you have to have it to work. I mean, really, and to keep yourself clean and to keep your clothes clean. So I think it's a good idea. And it's a way that everybody who wants to give you something back for being the awesome gift to us that you are every week, then we can do that. We can all chip in a little bit of money, and there's enough of us out there where we can get you a decent washer. What do you say, guys?
I think
we should do it for your birthday.
Okay,
you guys hit me up, direct message me, hit me up on the Groom Pod list, and we will figure out a way to get a new used washer out to Barbara. All right, anything else you want to tell me about your week?
I did Willis, the incorrigible Scotty, yesterday. I had to bathe him. He was just getting too dirty. I had dry cleaned him for a couple of times, and he really needed that, and he had, you know, urine odor. Last time, I used the Best Shot one-shot odor spray on his underside and on the backs of his front legs because he had urine odor, and Susie, immediately that odor disappeared.
That product is amazing.
It just disappeared. And then I used the Sentiment spray, one of the Sentiment sprays, and just did a spray and brush out on him. he looked clean, he smelled good, and he didn't have that urine odor just from those two products from Best Shot. I am so impressed with the Cinnamon's line. I just didn't get it before now. It's just an excellent all-round shampoo and conditioner duo with fragrance. The fragrance is terrific, and that's what kind of first appealed to me, but I'm just getting very good results, and I really like the products. Yesterday I had Willis came in, and he was the only dog. I didn't have no grooming book. It's really weird. I'm freaking out.
That is weird.
I determined that I had to give him a bath, so I did a little bit of just calming clicker work with him, clicker treat work, trying to get him calmed down, and then I bathed him. And it was difficult, and then I dried him, and that was, you know, like I got through it all, and we did pretty well keeping him calm, or just kind of stopping and starting and stopping and starting and coaxing him through it. But when I got up to where I needed to do a couple of things on his head and face, the dog went freaking ballistics again. And Susie, he does an airborne alligator roll.
I've seen it, not on him, but I've seen it on other dogs.
And at the same time that he does that roll, he gets out of the flank strap and sometimes even out of the head loop.
That's a tough one.
And you know what? And here's the other thing. I think it is truly fear-driven because he's not a nasty-tempered dog. He's not. Oh, you should have seen him playing with my wastebasket after he was done. I've got buckets. One of them is blue and one of them is green for trash and recycling. He just dumped both buckets over and then he was like rolling the buckets around the room. He was just like self-entertaining. He was really cute and he played ball with me. And, you know, it's not, I think there's genuine fear there, and I don't exactly know how to conquer it. And you know what I charged? Susie,
what?
I did a bath and a brush on this dog, and it took me 2 hours, and I charged $90.
And you deserved that $90. For heaven's sakes, 2 hours? Yeah.
I thought so. I kind of wanted to do 100, but I thought maybe I'll just keep it down a little bit. So I did 90, and it was not on the basis of that it was a bath only. It was on the basis of it that it required every little bit of me that I had. He has this way that if I'm holding him by his collar, he twists around so that my wrist breaks. Oh, it's awful. I mean, he catches my thumb in his, I can't hold on to him. He hurts my hands. And then if I hold one paw, he'll use his other paw to push against me. And when he does the alligator roll, he just leaves the table. All four legs leave the table and he rolls himself on his back and wiggles out of the restraints. And then there he is. You know, like if I try to double down and restrain him more, he screams and shrieks, and it's so fearful. So I don't know what I'm going to do. The owner asked me, what am I going to do? Do I want to continue? No, she didn't ask me what I'm going to do. She asked me, did I think we were getting anywhere? And, you know, I just kind of lied because I just want to buy myself time with this dog. I told her I thought that I was still hopeful, and that I couldn't promise how many times I was going to need to see him. And she was perfectly all right with that. And she was perfectly all right with the money and all of that. She just doesn't want me to continue if I don't want to.
Is there any medical intervention? Are you using any medication or aid at all?
I'm thinking about that.
I would suggest to do something at this point to take his edge off and to slow him down a little bit. Because he's so switching off that he's not able to relearn.
No, Susie, and it was really strange when he went off because I was combing. He's a totally long-skirted Scotty, okay? So I was spraying and combing and blowing out the furnishings. And we did fine with that. And of anything above the collar line, though, he just gets hysterical. You know, I tried to work him on a kind of a coax him into it and touch the scissors to him and, you know, all of this sort of gradual thing. But he picked a point in time where he just went off. It was just like, this is it. You know, there was nothing. I can't even remember what triggered him to go all the way, but he suddenly just switched into the total escape mode. It was just like the end. I'm done. And I couldn't settle him down after that. He just decided or something. I don't know. Dogs are so funny. This is such a challenge. But anyway, I don't want to take up everybody's time about my problem with this Scotty.
Let's take up some time with Susie's grooming school then. Because, you know, as everyone knows, I like to use this as my own personal education method. So I've got some questions about some special client requests that we're going to talk about after we hear from Best Shot, the maker of the one-shot spray as well as the sentiment line. So here you go. Here's Best Shot, and we'll be right back. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So I had a special request last week, and I never got to talk about it because I was so afraid of Snowmageddon. But I figured we could talk about it now. And it's the special request that I hate the most, the one that puts the fear into me like nobody's business. And that is, make sure you leave those eyelashes. Oh my gosh, I have the worst time leaving eyelashes. And it all begins from, what does the client consider the eyelash to be? I know that underneath all that fringe hair are actual eyelashes that rim the eye of the dog that are not part of the fur. But oftentimes my clients don't know that. So I'm always trying to leave those things and then cut the rest back so they stand out. Sometimes that's not what they want. Anyway, help me, Barbara. Help!
You need to distinguish kind of eyebrow and eyelash. That helps you distinguish. And it's true. The dogs have Fabrisi. They have the same kind of sensitive to touch whiskers. Same as whiskers growing out of the bangs, so to speak. It's there to help them know that they're running into the wall, you know, like here's the wall, we're running into it. But they don't count as eyelashes to most people. Most people are, they'll feel like you're dummying them if you start to talk about that stuff. So they're talking about the eyelashes that actually curl from the eyelids. And they can help or hurt the situation. Sometimes they're innocuous, but sometimes they tend to accumulate buildup and goopiness and actually are more a part of the problem than the solution. I think eyelashes are kind of silly, but Susie, there's a huge trend in American beauty that is focusing now on eyelashes.
Oh, man.
Are you aware of this? Their false eyelash sales have super doubled. You know, like I'm telling you, the whole beauty industry is gone on this fucking eyelash trip.
It's
for the
crazy.
Last couple of years.
I
and
know.
You see these girls that look like they got spiders on top of their eyes. And then some of these false eyelashes are like mink, you know. And I had a physical therapist one time that was doing the eyelash thing, and she described her protocol that she does every morning. She uses like three different products on her eyelashes.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, it's a huge trend in what people are seeing as beautiful.
Yeah.
So they want their dog to be beautiful. And they think that, oh, look, it's got these cool eyelashes.
Oh, they're so annoying.
Yeah, they're so annoying. And the thing of it is you can't cut them and curl them. I mean, if we could curl them, they might be better.
A little mascara on there.
Yeah, a little mascara or some color, some whatever, you know.
I am endlessly frustrated with the difficulty I have because I'm a mobile groomer. I'm not a styling type groomer. I do, I'll call them comfort cuts and maintenance cuts and some fancy cuts, but nothing, that's not like my focus. My focus is having a good experience for the animals and making sure they're clean and happy and that they're, well, you know, mostly their ears are even, but that's the other thing. We'll talk about that later. But they come at me with this, can you leave the eyelashes? So my protocol for trying to leave those freaking eyelashes is I pull them down and then I try to hang on to them with one hand while I clipper vac the top of the dog's head so that I don't suck them in the clipper vac. I'm a clipper vac girl. I use the clipper vac all day long and I hate putting it down. And I have taken off so many eyelashes with that
I bet. Yeah, I've never used my clipper vac around the heads.
I use it on all the heads. Because I have such a difficult time with symmetry.
I understand that, and you also are in a different time frame and everything when you're doing mobile work. And I remember I did some of my most shortcut kind of grooming when I was the 6 months I was a mobile. In fact, that's where I discovered the use of snap-on combs, and I am a snap-on comb groomer.
What I've been doing is skimming off with my clipper vac away from the end of the head so that I don't get the stuff above the eyes, and then doing that with my blenders and my scissors, my tiny teeny detailing scissors, while I clamp down on the eyelashes over the dog's nose so that they don't get in the way. I'm always thinking perhaps if I gelled up the hair before I do the bath, if I did the head before the bath and I gelled up the front of the head so that I could pull those eyelashes out and maybe kind of scissor it up and then wash it, maybe I'd have a better shot with that. If anybody's got any ideas, please let me know, because I'm endlessly frustrated with stupid eyelashes. But I'll tell you, my best defense is a good offense. So I come in and saying I will do my very best to not hack off those eyelashes. But beware, that is a difficulty for me, and occasionally there will be a mistake.
Listen, I've lost customers because I took the curl off the end of the cocker's tail.
Oh, really? Yeah, see there.
Really? You know, I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, like people get attached to these quirky things about their dog. The most important thing is that you validate them.
Yes.
You know, like, I know you can't dismiss the eyelashes as being silly, frivolous, and maybe bad for the eyes. That is invalidating the client. Yes, and I know eyelashes are big now, you know. But the truth is, some dogs, they will grow these eyelashes sort of from the corner of the eyes down, and it gives their whole face a droopy look.
Oh, yeah.
I talk about the look. I said, you know, I had a doodle. I was doing that. And they got so down her cheeks that it just looked like she was sad and crying, mournful look. And I said, you know, she's looking kind of beat up here. I think we can leave her some lash, but let's shorten them. So then they were like more like eyelashes and less like these long stringy boogers hanging from her face.
And if I remember correctly, I think it's Bichon's. Don't we take the eyelashes off to open the eye up a little bit more? Is that, or is it Westies, or is it everybody?
Yeah, we scissor over the top rim of the eye there for Bichon's.
Yeah, okay.
In order to, exactly, to emphasize the eyes. But people don't know that, and very few groomers even do that. It's a real kind of show Bichon trick, and it actually works. The other side of things, where people come in with a puppy or a dog that I've given a head style to that includes a little bit of a ledge reaching out over the eyes, and they want all the hair around the eyes and above the eyes taken off.
Send those right to me.
Oh, man, it just looks like shit.
Yeah, I know
it does. Looks like shit.
And 2 weeks from now, it's going to look too long. That's what they say. That's what they always say. His hair is going to be in his eyes in 2 weeks. Okay, well, how about if we make you a 3-week grooming appointment then? Instead.
That's right. I know. Don't you laugh when people come once every 3-4 months and they groan about how the hair grows?
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Like, he's just getting to look so horrible, Barbara. What can we do? You know, like, well, maybe you could groom him more often. I don't know. They don't put it together. They think that somehow you're going to do a style that looks really adorable that is going to last for 4 or 5 months. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. You know, come on. I think I went too far the other way, and I think I've lost Guillermo. You know, because he canceled a December appointment and hasn't rebooked. And I'm thinking, God, you know, like he got so all over me about doing it short over the eyes and everything, and they didn't answer my email. God, I followed the instructions, and I thought he looked like shit. And maybe he got home, and yep, he looked like shit.
Right.
So they think that I just purposely made him look like shit.
Lost your touch.
Yeah, lost right. My touch. I don't know.
Yeah.
What a life we live.
Well, I think that wraps up eyelashes. We'll skip the rest of these special requests because we've talked longer on eyelashes than I thought we would. Moving on to another subject, let's take a break and hear from Evolution Shears, the people that are saving the joints in my fingers and thumbs, and we'll be back. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877 560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
There was a big discussion about vinegar on a different list on Facebook, and the stuff that comes up is always interesting about whether you should use white vinegar or apple cider vinegar or red wine. Well, I've never seen red wine vinegar, but you know, there's all these different vinegars out there, and how does it work and what does it do? So Barbara, will you educate us on vinegar and the grooming salon?
The main thing to know about vinegar is that it's acetic acid, and the white distilled vinegar is the actually purest vinegar. That is just like kind of 5% acetic acid. And it has a very low acidic pH, generally in the 2.4, 2.5 area. Apple cider vinegar is also acetic acid, but it has minerals still in it. It's unfiltered, it's undistilled, so it's got other stuff in it, and what it's got in it are somewhat alkaline, so the pH of apple cider vinegar is a little bit greater. It's a little less acidic.
More towards the center.
A little bit. It's still acidic, but it's less acidic than white distilled vinegar, and it costs more. In my holistic days, and I'm still holistic, but in my big push for a holistic approach, I would have always preferred apple cider vinegar because it was less messed with, right? And there are a number of ways in which an acidic product can be helpful for grooming and for around the shop. The most important thing to know about vinegar is that it creates an acidic environment that is unfavorable. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're giving this fantastic speech, and all I hear is in the background.
Yeah, I was actually rubbing the damn cord to the microphone with my left hand. Jason just wandered over there and just started doing that stuff like a naughty little child, little 2-year old. Like, Nanny, let me touch this. Oh, help me. Oh, shit. I need to be handcuffed. Okay, so look, apple cider vinegar is more holistic in the sense of that it's less messed with. And Dr. Bragg's apple cider vinegar has what they call the mother in it. The mother is a kind of the, it's icky and stringy. and it's kind of hallowed like some kind of a treasure.
And you have to feed it and nurture it and take care
of it.
Yeah,
the mother.
And use a little bit of it every time you make your thing, whatever that thing is.
I don't know. I had a love affair with the mother myself, but I've let it go. I really prefer white distilled vinegar because of the price and because it's not going to bring other stuff. And I use it as a basic it doesn't disinfect, but it does resist bacteria. The acidic nature of vinegar is unsupportive of bacteria, period, and mold.
So it creates a hostile environment for that stuff that makes it not want to live there.
Yeah, but you don't know how long that protection or that whatever exists. Not very. I'm going to say that, not very long. However, it's enough to prevent bacteria from proliferating. You're never going to eliminate it all. You can't steam clean your whole premises every single day. But you can spray it on your table. You can use it to clean your instruments. You can use it to clean the tub. You can use it through the bathing system. We use the Bathing Beauty.
I do that every night.
Every night. It's also good to freshen your absorber sort of towels. I've actually turned around doggy ear problems with just having the people do vinegar. In this case, I did have them do apple cider vinegar in the ears. As long as the ears are not, the skin isn't broken and abraded and gonna sting, a vinegar rinse can really sometimes help ear problems if you do it every single day religiously. So that's that. Now, in terms of grooming, there was a thing on Facebook on the shampoos list that I read this morning where a woman was asking what to do with her dog. She has one of these dogs that has just a lot of recurrent skin infection. And the vet will test and will give antibiotics and it will clear it up for a little while. And then shortly after the antibiotics are done, it starts cycling in again. What can I do? Well, you could do a vinegar spray on that dog every single day, misting that dog. You know, how well you can do it is going to depend on the coat. If it's a short hair, you've got it made in the shade. Just spray that, wipe them down. You're not going to have recurrent bacterial infection on a dog that gets vinegared every day. But of course, if it's a poodle or a Bichon or a husky or something like that, you're not going to be able to spray to the skin. Those dogs need like a rinse.
So let's talk about rinsing. Let's talk about what happens when you use a vinegar rinse. You're doing something there to the cuticle.
Yeah, the acidic solutions tend to close or tighten the hair cuticle. Alkaline solutions tend to open it. Now, it's not like an open door or a cabinet. It's a little bit, but it's significant. And when you close the hair cuticle, you get less tangling, more shine. Why is it shiny? Well, it's because the hair is reflecting the light better. When you have a porous hair, it's not reflecting the light. In fact, that's one of the ways, Susie, that you can tell that you've got a dog with a porous coat. If it's not a shiny coat in its natural state without the help of silicones, then it's likely to be porous, and the porous coats can really be assisted by a little bit of final vinegar rinse.
Well, the white vinegar comes in these huge jugs, these big gallon jugs, just like the shampoo jugs we have. Nice gallon jugs. It's very cheap. How much do you put in, say, if you're using a recirculating bathing system? Like a couple ounces? You use more than that?
You don't need to use very much. I just read something here. Let me look in my notes for a minute. Antibacterial effects against Staphylococcus aureus, Staphylococcus epidermis, Proteus vulgaris, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and Escherichia coli. Acetic acid was found to be effective in vitro, that means in the petri dish, in concentrations of 0.1% to 0.2% against the tested bacteria. For effectiveness, an acid pH not higher than 4.5 is essential. So how's that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so you don't need to use a whole lot. You know, a little bit goes a long way, and a little bit will do you.
Couple ounces?
Yeah, an ounce to a gallon would do it.
Okay, and if you were going to pour it over just by hand, same ratio, just mix up a gallon, put an ounce of vinegar in there, mix it up and pour it over the dog?
Yeah, you can pour it over the dog and wait a couple of minutes. You don't need to wait 5 or 10, but just a couple of minutes and then rinse. And you'll have kind of made the dog's skin unfavorable to bacteria. But it's going to resort back to its old pH. So my theory, Susie, when people have these dogs that just have recurrent skin problems is that there's an underlying misfortunate pH situation. We know that dogs have a more towards the alkaline area of pH. And in fact, some dogs in some locations on their body can have as high as an 8.5 pH, whereas 7 is the neutral point, and anything less than 7 is acidic. So 8.5 is pretty substantially alkaline. The alkaline environment encourages the growth of bacteria and the proliferation. And if you add darkness and dampness to a higher pH, then you've got an ongoing garden for bacteria and these things that I just mentioned that vinegar is effective against. So just like people, it's not like all people have a given pH of their skin, but it ranges. It ranges, and it ranges with dogs, and some of it is kind of breed determined. Like the one study showed that German Shepherd dogs tended to have a much higher, more alkaline pH. But individuals within that breed can vary. Nature is such as that it's never everybody lands on a certain point. It's always spread out on a natural curve, right? So these dogs that have recurrent skin problems, I think that they're just cursed with a very alkaline skin pH, and they can use frequent adjustment.
Can't we all use frequent adjustment? So the vinegar rinse will also make the dogs dry a little faster.
Well, there again, yeah, for the same reason that it makes it shine. The smoother hair cuticle, the kind of like tamped down, tight, secured lock, water is going to whisk off of it faster than when it's craggly and snaggly with porosity.
All right.
Yeah, okay, that's good enough for today. Dogs that with a final vinegar rinse do not smell like salad an hour later. Pretty much that vinegar smell goes away as you dry the dog.
Well, that's good to know. I like the air freshener, but I don't want it to smell like the salad bar. That's not what we're going for. Anyway, let's take a break, hear from show season, and then we're coming back to talk a little bit about Facebook groups. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypoconditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. I see it over and over and over again. Barbara, what's your favorite shampoo?
Oh.
Do you like your table? What's the best bathing system? What kind of products do you like and use? So I just thought we'd take just a couple moments to talk about how useful Facebook is for those kind of questions, not to ask them, but to look for the answers without asking them. Because this stuff becomes redundant and you don't have a lot to learn off of it. We're trying to create questions that encourage learning, and you might find your answers much quicker by doing a search. Up at the top of a Facebook group, there is a search bar, also a search bar on top of your regular Facebook page. So if you do a search on your regular Facebook page, it's going to search all over the Facebook world. If you go to a specific group like the shampoos in the grooming industry group and you search vinegar at the top of that bar, you're going to come up with 4 days worth of reading about vinegar and all the threads and all the interesting stuff. This goes for scissors or pretty much anything you might have an interest in finding other people's opinions on that is just kind of stuff that probably has been asked 1,000 times. I know Barbara didn't even know there was a search function on there until, like, I don't know, a couple months ago.
I had forgotten. You just reminded me. I had forgotten that that was there. Well, I have a different take on it. I particularly groan over the what is your favorite question.
Oh, I know you do.
Because it's so unreliable data. Unreliable meaning that you have, first of all, you're going to have a very small sampling, and the sampling is going to be totally biased. So, and there's no control of factors. It's just anecdote.
The quality of your water, whether you have hard water or soft water, is going to affect how your shampoo cleans, which is going to affect the way you like or dislike a product. That is never discussed when you go, what shampoo do you like?
More and more often, people, because this just came up on the shampoos list, and they just went into that whole thing about the water. And in fact, I think I'm going to suggest to Sandy at Show Season to consider making a chelating shampoo specifically for groomers in the hard water situations. Because they just went all through this, and people say, well, add baking soda to your shampoo. When you add baking soda to your shampoo, baking soda is like 9 point something, very harsh pH, very alkaline. It's going to change the whole pH of your shampoo, which may be carefully balanced at a certain pH for all the ingredients to do their job the best.
Especially the preservatives.
Well, the preservatives, but even the cleansing agents. You know, they like if you take an acidic shampoo and make it an alkaline shampoo, your any conditioning ingredients might be only operable at an acidic pH. Do you hear me? There are ingredients in there that require an acidic pH in order to be effective, and you just neutralized them. Think about that before you just like start putting handfuls of baking soda into your shampoo water. An alkaline situation isn't always what you want. You may pick and choose that, but as a rule, what makes hard water hard is mineral deposits, not pH. So it's got calcium and magnesium, high calcium and magnesium, and other minerals present that interfere with the detergent action of the shampoo, especially in terms of lathering, but also in terms of cleaning. And if you've got a non-sulfate shampoo, it's going to be even more likely to be less effective in a baking soda environment. Did I make any sense with that explanation?
Yes, no, that's great. But back to the subject at hand, which was not specifically how acidic or how an alkaline environment affects your shampoo, which is interesting, and I'm glad you talked about it. But I want to talk about Facebook.
I'm so sorry.
So I'm going to circle around back there and say there is a Facebook group for every possible type of grooming, for every situation. You can find a Facebook group. Each one of them has a different culture and a different personality. Read the rules to get an idea of how the Facebook group is governed, because some of them are uncomfortable for certain people. I mean, there are groups out there that I don't like to be a part of, and there are groups out there that I tend to gravitate to. There are groups that have 20,000 members. There are groups that have 800 members. So your opinions are going to vary tremendously. And I like to look for my mentors to comment. So when I'm in the shampoo group, I'm looking for Barbara to say something, or for Chris to say something, or for just people that I know that I feel like I can trust their opinions. When you do your searches, then look for people who have proven to you to have solid information, because there is a lot of misinformation out there.
I agree, and I appreciate everybody's trust. I mean, it's huge to me. It's huge to me that my words have become to have value as being safe or acceptable or the truth, you know, as close as I can get to the truth. And, you know, it's elusive. But I really try to support my statements with no knowledge. And when it's my opinion, I say it's my opinion. And so to differentiate for everybody. But sometimes on Facebook, you just get a lot of
noise.
Yeah, a lot of noise and a lot of, I love this and I love that. And, well, that's good. But an awful lot goes into whether an individual likes a product beyond the product itself, the marketing psychology, the touchy-feeliness of the product itself may be acceptable or not. You know, the smell, the lathering ability, on and on and on. So it's just not always reliable data of what other people like, especially when you don't have the opinions of a whole lot of people who might have not liked. Right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, when I read reviews, for instance, on Amazon, I'll read a review. I go to bottom reviews, the 1- and 2-star reviews, and I carefully read all of the between the lines information I can get from them. Then I go into the middle of the reviews and I read those. Then I read a few of the people that loved it, because you get more information from people who didn't like the product than you do from people who did like the product.
It's true.
Well, there you go. All right. I've got some dogs to groom. Barbara, what are you going to do for your birthday? Let's give Barbara a shout out for her birthday. Again, man, happy birthday, 80. This is so great. I'm glad I've been present for all of it and even more part of your life every single day because of this podcast. So what are you going to do?
Well, actually, I am going to go prepare my kitchen for a possible refrigerator replacement effort that's happening.
Excellent.
Because listen here, one of my clients who has become a friend and who's a neighbor is buying me a used refrigerator. Isn't that something for my birthday?
Excellent.
What
it's
a
wonderful
great guy.
And then we are going to try to figure out a way to get you a washing machine.
Okay.
Oh, Lucy's dad.
Yeah, Lucy's dad. It's Lucy's dad bringing me a refrigerator. So I've got to go scurry and kind of pick up the kitchen and front room so that I won't be just like shamed to death when these guys arrive. Okay?
Yes.
And meanwhile, I'm staying happy. Staying happy all day. You're right.
Anybody who wants to help me get Barbara a washing machine, you can do so through donations at the Groom Pod website. Any donation from the donation button, I will send straight to the washing machine fund. All right, guys. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll meet you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Bye, Susie. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
Baking soda environment. What in the fuck are you doing?
Playing with the cat. There's a cat right here.
Yeah.
And he keeps going back and forth. And my cord gets caught up in his tail every time he passes underneath. So I have to hold it up in the air.
Like you're holding
and
up
trying to move.
Sort of like an IV cable there or something.
It's my headphones. And he keeps going underneath. Actually, this is cat number two. The black cat was here a minute ago. Sorry.
So. Mm-hmm.